Well, I mentioned in Sunday school class today how, you know, every year we come here and we praise the Lord and we thank the Lord for the gift of mothers, and we try to encourage our mothers at a time like this. That today I thought maybe I would scold our mothers, but that didn't go over too well, so we're not going to scold the mothers today, just to let you know. But how many mothers here today know that it's not easy being a mom, right? It's not easy being a mom. I'm a dad and I see it. From the outside, and I can see it's not easy. But 103 years ago, in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day, held on the second Sunday in May, as a national holiday to honor mothers. And he established the day as a time when, I quote, the public, time for the public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country, right? And the saying is true that no nation is ever greater than its mothers, because mothers are the makers of the next generation, right? Now again, Mother's Day is a day when we show our love and our appreciation to our mothers and the mothers of our children, but for many, it might be a rough day. It's a tough day. Right? Their mothers may be sick and dying, and they wonder how much longer they're going to be with them. So there's the pain of that. And for many, Mother's Day is sad because their mothers have already passed away. And still others cringe at the idea of celebrating mothers because their mothers, for whatever reason, walked out on them and left them high and dry. And for some, it might be hard to celebrate Mother's Day because they've experienced the loss of a child. Or they can't have children at all. And that was the case with the mother that we're going to look at today. Her name is Hannah, and the story begins in 1 Samuel chapter 1. So if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 today, we're going to look at, on this Mother's Day, some traits of a godly woman, of a godly mother. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to begin by reading verses 1 through 8. Now there was a certain man named man of Rephaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3, this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? We'll get to that ridiculous statement in a little bit. But so, right away from this passage, the first thing we see is that godly women are not immune to trials. Godly women are not immune to struggles or problems, right? In 1 Samuel 1, we're introduced to this man named Elkanah. And contrary to God's design purpose, as seen in verse 2, this man had two wives. He had Hannah and Peninnah, and the chief role of wives in that day was to bear children. Okay, that was the chief role, to bear children. And to be barren or unable to provide children was to be looked down upon. It was to be socially disgraced. That was the fate of Hannah. Now, God is an amazing God, isn't he? That is the understatement of understatements right there. He's an amazing God. He works in ways that are beyond our comprehension, ways that totally blow our minds, right? See, God had miraculously worked through a long line of great women of faith who had been barren. They couldn't have children, right? For example, Sarah, Abraham's wife, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, Rachel, Jacob's wife, Ruth, Boaz's wife, Elizabeth, which is John the Baptist's mother, they were all barren, right? They could not have children, but through these women, it's as if God, the great and sovereign God of glory, was saying it doesn't matter what the obstacle. It doesn't matter how bleak or impossible the situation may appear, my will is going to triumph. It will be accomplished, and I will do it in such a way that only I will receive the glory. Right? It's all about Him. It's all about God and His glory. And it's amazing how throughout Scripture we see that most of the childless women are righteous women, right? Righteous women who end up being the great matriarchs of faith, while the wicked women usually have no problem at all conceiving children. But now if we look at verse 3 here, we see that Elkanah and his two wives made a yearly visit to Shiloh where they would worship, right? The purpose of their journey was to worship God. Right? Really, that's the purpose of life. But the purpose of their journey here was to worship God, to make sacrifices to Him. And this shows us that Elkanah was a spiritually devout man. Okay? He cared for his family, as evidenced by the fact that he made worship the number one priority, which is something that's rare even in our day today, isn't it? Many of us can remember when Sunday or Wednesdays were sacred days. Remember those days? There were days when attending church to worship and fellowship together was the priority. But sadly, nowadays there's a choice. If there's a choice between church and anything else, the majority of the people will choose anything else. Right? And what was once considered a day of worship, a day when you couldn't even get a tank of gas for your car unless you had to go find the police officer, and he would take you down to the gas station and open it up and pump the gas for you. Right? That sacred day, Sunday, has become a day where sporting events are planned and tournaments are held for kids to compete in, and everybody's torn from different directions, right? And the importance of meeting with Almighty God is placed on the back burner. And then when people struggle in different areas of life because they're spiritually depleted, they wonder, Lord, where are you, right? Well, folks, we need to swim against the tide. As Christians, we need to go against the flow, because worshiping the Lord God is the most important activity of our lives. Coming before the Almighty God of the universe is the most important activity of our lives, right? So in our story here, Elkanah, Hannah, and Peninnah went to Shiloh to worship. Also, just a little note here, we're introduced to a couple of priests. The Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they could best be described as hypocrites or evil as you get down through the chapters there. But look at verses 4 and 5. We see here that Elkanah would sacrifice a thank offering. Okay, that's what he's doing. He's sacrificing a thank offering to the Lord, which is an offering that allowed the worshipers to eat part of the sacrifice that wasn't offered to God. Now this shows us the heart of Elkanah here. The fact that he would give a portion of the food to Peninnah and her children, yet he would give a double portion to Hannah, indicating that he loved her and honored her. That's what it meant to give a double portion. It meant that you are a place of high honor. And I'm sure this is much of the reason for Peninnah's animosity towards Hannah, as we're going to see here. But you got to wonder, think about Hannah. If you're Hannah, you can't have children. And Elkanah comes and he gives you this food to eat that was offered to God as a thank offering. Wouldn't it be hard for her to eat that, especially when you're not very thankful for the fact that you don't have children? Well, I'm sure, I don't know if she was thankful or not to the Lord for what he blessed her with. I'm sure she was, as evidenced by her heart, but that must have been hard. Hard to be thankful. And the truth is, Elkanah more than likely married Hannah first, and then because she couldn't have children, he married Peninnah so as to have offspring to continue of the line, continue the name, right? But as we see, and we said, Hannah and Peninnah, as you can imagine, did not get along. They didn't like each other. Well, Peninnah didn't like Hannah. Let's put it that way. Verse 6, we'll see that. But even though they didn't get along, and even though Peninnah would mercilessly tease her, she would tease Hannah, trying to hurt her, trying to get her to break down or to explode in anger or something, the greatest difficulty for Hannah, the thing that probably hurt the most, was the fact that, as we see in verse 5, it was the Lord that closed Hannah's womb. God had closed her womb. And you know, one of the hardest lessons that we'll ever learn is that sometimes our problems are given to us by God Himself. Sometimes God Himself gives us the problems. As a matter of fact, because of the truth that God is absolutely sovereign in all things, He is the one who allows both good and bad things into our lives. So, I mean, so often we as Christians feel the need to protect God's loving image, right? We want to protect the image and say, oh, it's not God, right? It's got to be all the enemy. It's not him. But sometimes God is the one who brings the problems in His great wisdom. Right? No one's going to want, we get this idea that no one's going to want to come to God for salvation if He's has the image of a God who allows bad things to happen to us. So we try to protect His image by attributing the things, as we said, the things that we perceive to be bad, we attribute that to the enemy, to Satan, as if he has any power that God has not given him. Right? As if God has no control over what happens to anything or anyone. But whether good or bad, what happens, happens because God, who is the sovereign God, has allowed or caused it to happen for His glory and for the good of His children. Right? There's nothing out of His control. We can take comfort in that, no matter what we're going through. And Hannah's situation was not out of God's control here. And she understood that, as we'll see in verses 9 through 18. Let's read that right now. 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 through 18. So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. There's some heavy words there, right? Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 12. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Right? The second godly trait, or the trait of a godly woman, is that she expresses fervent prayer. Okay? She goes through trials, just like everybody else, but she expresses fervent prayer. Prayer, right? Hannah had some problems. She felt left out. She felt left behind, but she didn't shut down. She didn't lash out. She didn't give up or quit on her marriage because she didn't like Peninnah. She poured out her heart before the Lord. She trusted Him. She sought His strength to survive the trial, the struggle, the loneliness, the feelings of disgrace and failure, right? In other words, Hannah expressed her faith in prayer. And folks, that's why God allows problems in our lives. Know that? Men and women, that's why God allows problems in our lives. To get our undivided attention and to teach us according to his word. I love this. Psalm 119, verses 71 and 72. It says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. In other words, it's good for me that I've gone through these trials and these struggles. It says, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And what this is saying is that our problems, our trials, struggles, whatever they are given or allowed for the purpose of driving us to God's word and in prayer, which drives us straight to God, right? That's what happened to Hannah. Well, look what it says in verses 10 and 11. It says that she wept bitterly and with anguish. Again, heavy, heavy words. You can just feel it heavy on your heart. In other words, in great distress, she literally sobbed within as she cried out from the depths of her heart to the only one who could do anything about her situation. Right? Hannah's weeping led to true worship. She cried out to God with a heart that was completely broken. She didn't know what to do. She felt all alone. She felt helpless. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever felt that way? It has. It's happened to me before, and I've mentioned this more than once. There was a time in my life when I didn't know what to do. I had a wife. I had two kids. Couldn't find work. Couldn't find a job. I was looking all over. I needed help pay the bills to provide for my family. I remember sitting down on the couch one night after everybody had gone to bed, and I just started crying from the heart. It's like, Lord, I need you. I can't do this. I was broken. Nowhere to turn but to him. And God had led me to that point where I had absolutely no place to turn and no more avenues to exhaust. Because usually that's what we'll do, right? If there's any hint of any kind of way that we can do it ourselves, we try to take charge and do it. But no, I was to that point where I had absolutely nowhere to run but to him. And you know what? God proved faithful. He proved himself faithful again. He's to be glorified. Right? He lifted me up. He set me on my feet. He showed me. He reminded me that he is the sovereign God who has a plan for my life and for the lives of life of my family, and that he will never, ever desert me. He will never let me down. Right? But he had to bring me to my lowest point. He had to humble me in a very dramatic way to get me to, again, turn my focus to him. And he does this to all of us as well, right? I'm sure you guys have encountered this as well. But that's what Hannah was. She was at her lowest point, crying out to God from a broken and contrite heart. And then it says in verse 11, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction, the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, that I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Right? Hannah longed so much to have a child. And she knew that the only way she was going to have one was if the Lord were to give her one. And she, being a godly woman, understood that if he were to answer her prayer, the only true way for her to thank him or to worship him or to show her appreciation to the Lord, was to give back to him that which he had so graciously given to her. So she said, Lord, if you'll only give me a child, give me a boy, a little boy, I will offer him back to you as a living sacrifice for your honor and glory. Now, if you have children today, can I ask you this? Have you ever done that? Have you given your children up to the Lord? Have you given them over to him? In other words, have you honored him and his faithfulness by submitting to his will, not only for your life, but for the life of your children? You know, as a parent, we like to control not only our situation, but we like to control the situation of our kids as well. But being part of being a godly parent means understanding that your children are gifts from God. Right? And that your role as a godly parent is to be a good steward of those children. Whether you're a mother or a father, right? To make absolutely sure that they know both from God's word, which should be we should be constantly encouraging them to study, and from your own example of godliness, to make absolutely sure they know who he truly is, right? And being a godly parent involves the complete surrender of everything, including our children, to the sovereign will of God. It involves shepherding. It involves training them for the Lord's work. And that's not easy. But that's why we have the Helper. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Right? Being a godly parent involves asking God to be glorified by using us and by using our children as instruments of righteousness. God absolutely deserves our all, doesn't he? He deserves our complete sacrifice, our complete heart. There are many hearts in here today. I don't know if you know it, but when I look at your faces sometimes, I can read, and there are a lot of things that I know that are going on in people's hearts. A lot of people are struggling today. I can tell. But God deserves our complete sacrifice. He deserves us to quit holding back. Right? Say, here, Lord, it's all yours. And that includes our children. That includes our possessions. That includes everything. And again, that's what Hannah did as she cried out to God. And God, once again, was faithful to answer, as he always is. And the child that Hannah had was given to the Lord, and he became a Levitical priest who served in the temple, and he was dedicated to serving the Lord for his whole life, right? Now, what a blessing that is. Also, another thing to note, verse 12, it says that as she continued praying before the Lord, so a godly mother never stops praying for her children and for her husband. She never stops, right? In Hannah's case, it says she continued to cry out to God. This wasn't a quick, Lord, please give me this, amen, type prayer. Right? No, true godly prayer from a broken and humbled heart of faith trusts God to the point that the prayer does not stop until it is answered. And it's not a prayer that is noticed by those around either. Right? In other words, the true follower of God does not pray to be seen. They don't care who's around. They aren't looking to draw attention to themselves, right? True worshipful prayer is all about God. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Right? At the point of brokenness, no one cares how religious or pious they look. That's why God brings us to that point. Right? They just want to cry out one-on-one to the only one who can help them, that being Almighty God. Right? So Hannah, not wanting to draw attention to herself, prayed secretly, not out loud. But when she prayed, she was mouthing the words, although they were from the heart. By the way, when you pray, you don't have to pray out loud, right? We understand that. All we need to do is pray from the heart, because our thoughts are as words to God. Now, in Hannah's case, Eli, the priest, saw her moving her lips and thought, well, she was drunk, which is kind of telling at this time. Why would there be drunk people hanging around the temple, right? But that's another message, but he thought she was drunk. But after she was given the opportunity to explain her situation, he answered her in verse 17, God in peace, or go in peace, sorry, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Right? And this was a huge blessing for Hannah. A huge blessing. Comforting thing for him to say to her. Eli didn't know what she was praying about, but he could tell that it was a heartfelt prayer from a humble heart, so he gave her his blessing. And Hannah, it says, her whole countenance changed. She no longer had a long face, right? Folks, that's what happens when a person spends time in the Word and in prayer. You got a heavy heart today? Spend time in the Word and in prayer. Right? Whatever you're going through, whatever the trial, the struggle, the heartache, whatever's getting you down, by prayer and supplication, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, just a word of encouragement. Can I please encourage you to get in the Word and pray on a continual basis? You know, there have been a number of women, a number of mothers in our churches of late who have been experiencing some trials. Heartaches, loneliness, frustration. And to those ladies, I would plead, please do what we just said. Get in the Word. Right? Humble yourself in worshipful prayer. And men, you need to come alongside them too. We do, right? We need to come alongside of them too and help them, encourage them, help them to study the Word and pray, because if our focus is on anything other than the Lord, we're going to fail miserably as a couple, as a family, and as a church body. He needs to be the number one focus. So the godly women, or the daughter, or the mother, or wife, is a woman of fervent prayer. Thirdly, because of God's faithfulness and their fervent prayer, the godly women experience God's provision. Look at verses 19 and 20 of 1 Samuel 1. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. In other words, he had relations with her. And the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So once again, God proves himself gracious as he honors Hannah's prayer, gave her a child, which she called Samuel. Now, another thing to note, just because Hannah prayed for a child does not automatically mean that God was obligated to give her a son. Right? I mean, there are many, many times when we as Christians pray for something, but we don't receive what we pray for. And it's during those times that we need to be reminded of the fact, a couple of facts. First of all, that this is God's show, right? And he accomplishes his will in his way and in his time. And secondly, we need to remember that we can rest assured that when we pray as Christian believers, God will grant us what he knows is best for us. Do we always know what's best for us? No, most of the time we don't. Right? But he knows what's best for us. That's what he will grant. And that might not necessarily be what we ask for. But Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him, right? So whatever we ask for, whatever we cry out to him for as his children, we can rest assured that he hears us and he will honor our prayers in such a way that brings him the most honor, the most glory, and will be the best for us. We can absolutely trust him. Right? So God has a plan, and in Hannah's case, her inability to have children, by God's grace, in the end, ended up giving a greater blessing than she could ever imagine. And that's how our amazing God works. The next characteristic of a godly woman is that a godly woman of faith keep their promises. Now, we see this in verses 21 through 28. Now, we're not going to read this for the sake of time, but it tells us how Hannah honored and worshipped the Lord by keeping her vow to offer back to God the child that he so graciously provided her with. So around the age of 3, when he was weaned, it says she brought little Samuel back to the temple where he would live, grow, and serve the Lord. Mothers, can you imagine that? A 3-year-old? Your 3-year-old child taking him to the temple and saying, here you go. Right? How hard that would be. But you know what? That was the depths of her heart, the worship of her heart. She was a godly woman who trusted Almighty God. Verse 28 says, therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. She gave him up to the Lord. We live in a culture where we have a hard time giving things up. We have so many things, right? We've been blessed in so many ways, and we say, well, that's mine. I can't give that up. I got to hold on to that. I got to hold on to this. I can't hold on. You know, it's like, no. We need to be in this attitude like Hannah had. It says, it's all yours. If you want to take it, you take it. There are a lot of people who don't keep their promises in our world, aren't there? But Hannah had every intention of keeping her promise to the Lord. And once she left Samuel, which again must have been hard, can't even imagine. Once she left him, she never bailed on her responsibility as a mother either. She continued to pray for him and provide him with a robe which she would bring each time they would go to worship, right? So Hannah not only dedicated herself to her child, caring for him and nurturing him, but more importantly, she kept her promise and dedicated her child and herself to the Lord. And then finally, in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 11, ask you to read those later. But we see that godly women praise the Lord. Right? Godly women praise the Lord. Look at what she says in verses 1 and 2, 1 Samuel 2. My heart rejoices in the Lord. Rejoice, right? Having joy upon joy. It rejoices in the Lord. That only happens when you know the Lord and you know you can trust him. Right? My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies. I wonder if she ever walked by Penina and just gave her a little grin every time she looked at her. Right? I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Speaking to the Lord here. No one is holy like the Lord. For there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Notice that Hannah's focus is right where it's supposed to be. Right where it should be, right? On the faithfulness of Almighty God. She looks past the gift to the giver of the gift. Right? She says, no one else is like the Lord, nor is there any rock like our God. Right? And truer words were never spoken. So ladies today, godly women whose goal it is to love, honor, and serve your Lord, in God's sight, whether you have children or not, you are of great value. You are of great value in God's sight. And no matter what the circumstances you are in, or you will be in, you need to remember that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he understands exactly what you have, what you are, or what you will go through in life. And you can rest in the fact. You can rest in that fact, and along with the fact that he is the Almighty Sovereign God who has a specific plan for your life, right? You can rest in that fact and be encouraged. And I'd like to encourage you to continue to diligently seek him, to seek his will for your life, and to do that from the Word. Spend time in the Word, in God's Word. Spend time in prayer, fervent prayer. And mothers, I want to encourage you again today. Offer your children to the Lord. No matter how old they are, offer your children to the Lord for a lifetime of dedication and service. Say, Lord, you've blessed me with these children. They're yours. Use them in a way that will bring you honor and glory. Because there's no greater purpose. No higher honor than to have your children give their lives in a complete surrender to the Lord and allow him to use them. So teach them, love them, pray for them, and model for them a life of godliness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you with thanksgiving. Praise you. Glorify you. We think of our mothers today. And the women in our church who may not be mothers, but the godly women, Lord, I pray a special blessing upon them today. You bless them. Draw them near to you. Because there's no greater blessing than that. We thank you for our mothers. Whether good or bad, we know, Lord, that you have used them and brought us to this point. And you've done it all for your honor and glory. And that's what we thank you for, the privilege of being used to bring you honor and glory. Thank you again, Father, for the truth of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.